Testing. Okay. I don't see the pointer up here. Is it up here? While he's coming up here, I just want to say, I am so grateful to the Church at Eastside for the opportunity I've been given. Thank you. To work with Steve. For a long time, I've wanted to preach. I wanted to be involved in it. As far as to what extent, I don't really know. Even now, I don't know if I want to be a full-time preacher or a part-time preacher or, just helping out at a congregation, but I love it. I love doing it. Currently, I'm working as a full-time nurse. Those of you who don't know, 3 days a week, work any 3 days out of Tuesday through Friday, but the other 2 days during the week, I come up here and I study with Steve. We plan to study together mostly now. We've just been studying for the class on Romans that we're teaching, and I've been preparing for sermons, writing articles, things like that. I just want you guys to know where I'm at with that. If you didn't know what I'm doing on a weekly basis, I want you to know. And I'm getting so much out of it. This time, the time that I spend at this building preparing for these lessons, preparing for the classes, that's my favorite time of the week. It really is. It's a break from the craziness the stress that I feel at work at the hospital. And I love coming up here and just digging into God's Word. It's helped me. It's saved me. It's helped me spiritually. And I just want to thank you because you've played a part in that, in my opportunity to be able to be involved in that. And so I just want to thank you. And I hope that as I continue to study with Steve and get to know you all, as a brother in Christ, not just as a preaching intern, I hope that we can grow together as a family, as we've been talking about this year. I really hope we can focus on that together and gain a lot from one another. This evening, I want to talk about godly approval. I want to thank Mr. Cook for the songs that he chose, certainly. Trusting in God, submission to God, giving our life over to God is involved with seeking godly approval, and I want to thank him for that. Everyone likes to be liked. Would we agree with that? Everybody wants someone's approval. Everyone has some certain desire to be maybe even popular. When I think about that idea, I think about the Broadway show Wicked. I don't know if you guys have seen that. But there's a song that Glinda sings in that show called Popular. And it's Glinda's efforts to emphasize to Elphaba the importance of being popular, the importance of being liked. And I think about that in our lives. That everybody has this base desire to be liked. Everybody wants somebody's approval. And Paul had that same desire in his own life. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, he talks about that when he says, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So Paul emphasizes here that at one time, yes, his whole desire, his focus, or at least part of his desire, part of his focus was to please men, was to please people. But Paul makes an interesting point here in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. And that is that Paul understood that strictly seeking the approval of man would force him to give up his service to Christ. Let me say that again. Strictly seeking man's approval would force him to give up entirely his service to Christ. He understood that the two don't mix. And there has always been a direct opposition between seeking the approval of man and seeking the approval of God. They've always butt heads. It's like oil and water. They just don't mix. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one despise the other. Now in that context, he's talking about things, right? But I think the principle applies here as well, that we can't focus our minds on trying to please people and what people want to see in us and what people want to hear from us and focus on pleasing God. There's an opposition there, and we have to make a choice. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight. When it comes to approval, where do we find ourselves lacking? Do we find ourselves lacking? That's the first question you got to ask yourself. Is maybe you don't have a problem with this. I would venture to say that most of us do at some point or another. Every one of us does. But maybe you don't see yourself having a problem with this. But if you do, where do you find yourself lacking? What is it that's causing the problem? What are we really seeking when we seek the approval of man? What do we find ourselves willing to do for man's approval? What kind of approval are we giving to one another? What are we really desiring when we want God's approval? Those are some of the thoughts that I want us to discuss tonight and think about tonight. Let's talk about the approval of man first. I asked this question just a second ago. What do we really seek when we want man's approval? When we find ourselves living our life to make sure that other people see us and that other people are approving of our actions, what is it we're really, really looking for? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus really gets to the heart of the issue in Matthew 6. In verses 1-6. And I do want to read all of these verses, because I'm going to reference them a little bit later, so I want us to have read them. Matthew 6, 1-6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. But then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And we're going to focus more on the side of being practicing your righteousness to be seen by men. What is it that we're really seeking when we want man's approval? What we're really seeking when you get to the heart of the issue is often just simply an approval of our actions. It's often just simply a desire for people to commend us for doing good. It's just an effort to be seen. And that's what Jesus says there in verse 1, is that our righteousness being practiced in order to be seen by them, by others. And in verse 2, he talks again about being praised by others. And in verse 5, again, talks about that you may be seen by others in the middle of the verse there. You know, I referenced Wicked earlier. And in this song, Popular, that Glenda sings, she makes this description of popularity. And I think it portrays this concept of being seen, people approving of your actions. I think it really portrays this concept well. This is some of the lyrics from the song. It says, I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix your hair. Of course, this is a girl singing. This might be a little bit different for guys, but I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix your hair, everything that really counts to be popular. I'll help you be popular. You'll hang with the right cohorts. You'll be good at sports. Know the slang you've got to know. Isn't that exactly what we're looking for when we want man's approval? We want people to approve of how we dress, how we act, the people that we hang out with, that we're saying the right things, that we're good at the things that they think that we should be good at. But really, when it comes down to it, having the approval of man leaves no more and a reward of empty praise. It's nothing lasting. That's exactly what Jesus says here in verses 2 and verse 5. He says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. They've gotten it. They've gotten everything that they can get out of pleasing man. That is a word of praise. Seeking man's approval is easy, but really seeking God's approval requires change. Maybe that's why we seek man's approval. Because we don't have to really change. We don't have to change who we are. We don't have to change how we think necessarily. Just, we go through the day-to-day actions. We come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We come to church on Wednesday evening. We throw some good things out there throughout the week. But our hearts and the way that we think and what we dwell on doesn't have to change. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But consider this. If our desire is to seek approval from man, let's seek it from men who are godly. Let me show you what I mean in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, starting in verse 17. Paul is talking about, if you're familiar with this context, the eating of meats, not passing judgment on one another, not eating meat for the sake of not offending your brother who thinks that he can eat meat. That's what he's talking about here. And he says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. The point that I think Paul is really trying to get at here is that when our heart is focused on serving Christ and submitting to our brother and making sure that we're there to help show love for our brother, acceptance for our brother, concern for our brother, then when it comes to brethren, they're going to approve of our actions. That's the point that Paul's making. Godly men, another way of saying this is, godly men approve of godly sacrifice and of love. We not agree with that? I think that's the point that Paul's making here, is that godly people, when our focus is on serving Christ, then what bleeds into that is a desire to please our brethren. And godly people will approve of that. So if our focus is trying to please men, you know, again, I'm not trying to say here that we focus on pleasing our brethren. But if our focus and our desire is to please men, let's focus on it from a godly perspective, from pleasing godly men, people who approve of godly sacrifice, of godly love. Let's seek our brother's approval for mutual upbuilding, like Paul says in verse 19 of Romans chapter 14. You know, it may be, though, that our desire, maybe we look in our hearts and our desire isn't necessarily to receive man's approval. Maybe we're not really looking to get praise from other people. Maybe we don't think we are. But our desire isn't really to receive praise from God either. Maybe we're just simply trying to approve of ourselves. It's vital, I think, that we rely not on our own approval of our justifications of ourselves, but that we rely on God's approval. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18. Paul says very explicitly, he addresses this. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. May our commendation come from God alone. May it not be a desire to seek approval from men or even approval from ourselves, from our own perspective. A desire to seek God's approval. And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. In addition to being careful whose approval we seek, though, I think it's important that we be cautious of what approval that we give. Be cautious of what approval we give to other people. You know, we can often give, or if we're not careful, hopefully not often, but maybe it is often, we give false approval in order to receive approval for ourselves. And ultimately, what this is doing, it's not helping us. It's not helping anybody else. It's leading us away from the approval of God, and it's leading others away from the approval of God. And the point I'm trying to make here is really found in Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus says, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." We have to be careful that our approval is based on truth. Whether it be the approval that we give or the approval that we receive. And that's exactly what Jesus is addressing here. That, you know, people speak well of us, but maybe they're speaking well of us for the wrong reasons. Maybe because we've been approving of their wrong actions. And this whole time, their approval that we're receiving is false. It's not true approval. We really get down to the heart of the matter. We have to be very careful that the approval that we're giving to other people is based on truth, and completely based on truth. The gospel of God, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, it's not man's gospel. And he says there in Galatians 1, verse 11, he says, "I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. I wasn't here to please you. I wasn't here to preach a gospel that you would want to hear or anyone else would want to hear. I was here to preach what God wanted me to tell you. God wanted you to hear." We've got to be careful that we rightly handle the word for God's approval, not man's approval. And the way that we teach others from God's word, and the way that we use God's word to prove of our actions and of other people's actions, we have to be careful that we're rightly handling that. And Paul says that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, well-known verse, "Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Those are the ones who approve, those who are using the word in its rightful manner to prove of good things, of right things. If we're taking the truth and we're twisting it in order to give false approval, and in turn receiving false approval for ourselves, we're making a huge mistake. And in reality, the fact of the matter is, providing true, honest, and godly rebuke is often what we really need. This is what allows us to sharpen one another. Really, this is what really helps our brother, not giving them approval based off what we think they should be approved of and not based off the word. And I think about Proverbs 27:5 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." Better is open rebuke than hidden love. True love rebukes. True love exhorts. Luke 17, verse 3, "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." 1 Timothy 5, verse 20 says, "As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear." If we want to prove our brethren in a godly way, the truth is sometimes we may need to rebuke them first. May we have a love open enough to rebuke and tender enough to forgive in order to show godly approval of our brethren, and in return receive godly approval for ourselves. Turn to John chapter 12. Switching gears here for a second. John 12, starting verse 40. John says here, "He has blinded their eyes," he's quoting from Isaiah, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. These officials had a problem. They, like Isaiah, as John says in verse 41, they saw the glory of Christ. They saw what he was doing, and they believed in what he was doing. They weren't confessing it. He says there in verse 42, and Isaiah was confessing it, and that was the problem. They blinded themselves. They fulfilled this prophecy in Isaiah. Why would anyone, the question I want to ask you, is why would anyone blind themselves to the truth when they can plainly see it? Why would anyone see Jesus, see the acts that he's performing, hear the words that he's speaking, believe it, and not confess that this was the truth? The problem here for them, it's a very serious problem. It says in verse 42, first of all, they had fear of the Pharisees. Second of all, they feared for their social status by being put out of the synagogue, and really cover all bases here. They just loved man's approval, period. You know, that's a scary thought. That we can want man's approval so much that we can even see Jesus, we believe who he is, we believe what he's done, we believe even what he said. But we want to please other people so badly that we won't even confess it. All three of these obstacles, just like they stood in the way of these officials, can stand in our way today. Sometimes we allow a fear of rejection, maybe a lowering in social status even, or simply just a love of man's approval to keep us from acknowledging the truth and boldly confessing our faith. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. Jesus addresses this. Because Jesus knew this was going to be a problem. And he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Jesus assures us that any obstacle, whether it be rejection or even death, can be overcome by our faith. We have to have the confidence, we have to have the boldness to confess it. Jesus knew the importance, he understood and emphasized the importance of overcoming these obstacles of approval, seeking the approval of man. He says again in chapter 10, verse 34, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The problem is, sometimes we blind ourselves to the truth. Because we have relationships that we're trying to preserve. Friendships that we're trying to keep. A reputation that we're trying to keep intact. And we bottle up the truth. We don't confess it. We don't tell of it. We don't teach it. We don't preach it. And ultimately, we're just as guilty as these officials. The question is, how will we respond when our faith is tested? We're tested to confess Christ. How are we going to respond? Are we going to seek the approval of man, or are we going to seek the approval of God? Let's talk about the approval of God here for a minute. Seeking the approval of God is really having your heart set on receiving God's approval. Seeking God's approval means that we desire His approval of our actions, our motives, and really our whole heart. And the Bible emphasizes this. The Bible emphasizes that God is focused on approving and praising the heart. Not the actions, but the heart. Matthew chapter 6, again, we read this earlier, but verses 3 through 4. The emphasis here that Jesus is putting here is, if you notice, talking about doing these things in secret, not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Heart that's focused on the approval of man doesn't do anything good in secret. It totally misses the point of their focus. But a heart focused on God's approval does all their good deeds as much as they can in secret. It's totally opposite. Romans 2, verse 29, we see that again, Paul emphasizes this concept that God is focused on approving the heart. It says, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 2, 4. Paul says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. God is testing our hearts. Every day, God is testing our hearts. Where is our focus? Who are we trying to please here? Turn to Psalm 26. David really challenges me. I'm honored to be named after David. And he challenges me in everything, every psalm that I read, because of his attitude, his heart. He was known as a man after God's own heart. Psalm 26, verses 2 through 3. Listen to what David says. To God, he says, prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind. Test my heart and my mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. David was convinced that if God looked at his heart, if God looked at his motives, if God looked at his actions even, that God would vindicate him, that God would justify him, that God would approve of him. David knew that he was passing the test that we are taking today. My question is, how many of us would willingly ask God today to test our heart, to test our mind? How many of you would accept the challenge of a test from God today as to where your heart is for Him? David pleads the exact same thing in Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Verses 1 through 6, David acknowledges and has a very real understanding that God knew all of his thoughts already. God knew exactly what he was thinking inside and out. And still, at the end of the psalm, David pleads with God, try me, test me. Know what is in my heart. See if there be any grievous way in me. Would we ask God to test our hearts and know our thoughts? Would you ask God today? Approval of God is not simply an approval of our acts of worship, of our doctrine, or teaching. It's not simply that. The approval of God is one that seeks out the discernment of our deepest thoughts and our deepest motives. A heart that is set on God's approval is one that says, "Prove me, O Lord, and try me, test my heart and my mind." So the question is, whose approval are you seeking? Are we giving honest, godly approval to one another? Are we giving approval in truth based on God's word? Is our heart open to God's approval? Are we willing to seek the correction that God wants to give? Very serious questions that we must ask that I think we all face. This morning, or this evening, excuse me, you have an opportunity. Right now, to ask God to search out your heart. To show God. Open up your heart and say, "Prove me, try me, test me. See if there is any grievous way within me and lead me in the way everlasting." It's exactly what David asked. You have that opportunity tonight. Open up your heart to Him. Seek His approval. Come to Him in obedience. Come to Him in submission. Have that opportunity tonight. We ask that you will come forward as we stand, as we sing.